Essentially, first and foremost, it starts with strategy before tactics. So we go to work immediately on helping them narrow their ideal target market, come up with a message of difference that promises to solve a problem that their ideal client has. And then we start building a story around that strategy. Probably the biggest differentiator for us, and sad to say this, quite frankly, is that many marketing firms jump right into tactics. They're selling the idea of the week. We really back up and say, what's gonna sustain momentum for this business long term? And that's generally being known as the best to someone.
The following is brought to you by Thrive, the end-to-end client experience platform that helps you get the job, manage the job, and get credit.
Hey, this is Gordon Henry at Winning on Main Street. And this week you get to meet John Jantz of Duct Tape Marketing. John is very well known in the marketing space, written multiple best-selling books, including Duct Tape Marketing, Duct Tape Selling, and a new one coming out soon called The Ultimate Marketing Engine. He also does the Duct Tape Marketing podcast. Welcome, John.
Hey, thanks for having me, Gordon.
Yeah, great to have you. So before we dig into your business, tell us a little bit about your background. How'd you get to where you are today?
So I really haven't done much but own my own marketing consulting firm in life. Going on 30 plus years, I got out of college, went to work for an ad agency, marketing agency for about 5 years, realized that any dummy could run a business. So I thought I'd start my own. Like a lot of people, no real plan. I hustled projects. I got big clients. I got little clients. Eventually, I really settled on working with small business owners, still my passion today. But ultimately, the genesis of Duct Tape Marketing was my frustration with trying to work with small business owners that, had the same needs and challenges, but never the same budgets or even attention spans as much larger clients. And so I decided one day I was going to create a systematic approach to marketing where I could walk in and say, look, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what you're going to do. Here are the results we hope to get. Here's what it costs. And that was really the genesis of Duct Tape Marketing. And now that approach is actually licensed by about 150 agencies around the world that we're working really at any given day with thousands of small business owners.
Oh, that's fantastic. So before I go too far, why duct tape? What does that mean?
Sure.
Duct tape. What's the analogy?
Yeah. So it's really a metaphor in a lot of ways for what it's like to grow a small business. When I decided I was going to take the systematic approach, almost try to turn marketing into a product, I said, I got to give it a brand name. I have to package it somehow. And that name just kind of occurred to me as I was and still am a small business owner as, sometimes you just need something that it doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to work. And certainly I've benefited, of course, from the strange affection a lot of people actually have for all things duct tape. So I think a lot of small business owners really get the metaphor. When it comes down to naming a company, which is a part of marketing, that's a big goal, is for it to stand out and differentiate, but also for people to get it.
Agree. It's a great name. He's the duct tape guy. Yeah. It sort of sticks with you.
I will say one challenge it presented is my books have been translated into about 18 countries or 18 languages. And not very many countries actually have a translation that gets that across. So for example, the Portuguese is marketing that is low cost and effective. It doesn't ring, does it?
Not quite. It doesn't roll off the tongue same way. Yeah. So you've built a small business marketing success system, I think you call it.
Yeah.
That you teach your clients. What's the system?
So essentially, first and foremost, it starts with strategy before tactics. So we go to work, anybody that engages myself or one of my consultants, we go to work immediately on helping them narrow their ideal target market, come up with a message of difference that promises to solve a problem that their ideal client has. And then we start building a story around that strategy and content today, I refer to it as the voice of strategy. We then build a complete customer journey, something that I've been a framework that I've been evolving with for the last 20 years called the Marketing Hourglass, which has seven stages: know, like, trust, try, buy, repeat, and refer. And that framework, you know, foundation is where we start. Then, you know, then and only then do we start saying, you know, what's our website got to do? What's our content got to do? What's our SEO got to be? Where do we need to be sending that message? So probably the biggest differentiator for us, and sad to say this, quite frankly, is that, you know, many marketing firms jump right into tactics. They're selling the idea of the week. We really back up and say, you know, what's going to sustain momentum for this business long term? And that's generally being known as the best to someone.
Yeah. So you build this strategy, this framework for your clients, and then you move into tactics.
We do.
So when it comes to tactics, do you sell advertising and marketing campaigns as well as the strategy? You do the whole thing, or just the strategy?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we look at marketing as an integrated system. So we build that strategy. And then today the foundation is always going to, I mean, we have to be, you know, online. We have to build a web presence, which starts with a website. I don't care what kind of business you're in today. So we build that foundation of website content, SEO, really at the strategic level. And then we go to work on lead generation and scaling. And so, as you mentioned, you know, lead generation takes many forms, you know, referrals, networking, speaking, podcasting, obviously advertising in both online and offline. But we build the appropriate tactics and integrate those tactics based on the strategy.
Right. And your firm, if your client wants you to do that for them, you do that for them?
We do. We've got a couple flavors. We certainly have most of the clients that work with our consultants are like, please just do it for me. You know, just as long as I'm getting the results, I don't even care what you're doing, to tell you the truth. I mean, there's that sort of flavor of totally do it for you. We also have folks that have maybe either an internal team or they've got a web person, an SEO person. And what we end up being then is the orchestra leader. So, you know, because that's the one thing that I see that is a real challenge for business owners is they know they need all these parts. And so they go out and hire them separately. And then they're not even talking to each other. You know, the SEO person's not like talking to the content person. It's like, how does that work? So we help orchestrate. And then the third flavor that we've recently introduced is that we have firms that have internal teams. And those people, they're not getting that much out of them because they are whoever they are and whatever they brought to the table. But there's nobody that's, you know, the founder of the company quite often is not a marketer, and there is no CMO in the organization. And so we kind of play a fractional CMO role in some cases, but we also have created an entire coaching program. So we actually have an entire online coaching program where we'll go in and somebody's got like two kind of fresh out of college, you know, folks that they have working on their marketing, and we can actually train those folks and get them, you know, speaking the language and show them how to install a system.
Yeah. So you get hired by real small business owners and go to work for them. I'm curious, who hires you? You know, like, what's your typical customer look like, and what's the typical project, and what does it typically cost, and what are the typical results?
Yeah. So we do work with, you know, very small businesses. I mean, obviously, we actually don't work with startups very often because, you know, they're, in some cases they're too small, or in some cases they don't have certainly the money to invest in marketing. Our typical client is actually somebody that's been somewhat outwardly successful. They've passed at least the $1 million mark, some $5, $10, $15 million, but they still don't have that systematic approach. They typically don't have a strategic marketing hire, you know, inside the organization. The founder's been great at selling. They've got a good product or service. And so they've kind of grown their way, but stalled. So that's really our typical client. It's all over the place in terms of industry, but I like to say that they're real small businesses. A lot of brick and mortar businesses in local communities, you know, or who kind of our system, you know, is really attracted to. We work on a retainer type of engagement. So our average engagement is about 19 months from, you know, it's actually $3,300 a month is the average across our network. But we certainly have folks that are doing much larger projects for five and 10 and, you know, $15,000. But typically that's, you know, that's the investment in terms of engaging one of our consultants for this long-term type of approach. In terms of results, again, that's all over the place. We certainly have people. I have people that that I worked with, years ago that then built a team internally, and they're $100 million businesses now. So we have lots of those kind of studies. But we also have probably ones I'm just as proud of is businesses that were really in chaos because they were just doing the marketing idea of the week where they were trying to market to anybody and everybody. And consequently, they weren't going anywhere. It was like treading water. And we get those people really on a trajectory path. It might be 10, 15, 20% a year, but at least they've got some control over their marketing now.
What do most marketing consultants or agencies get wrong that you get right? It sounds like you were talking about the strategy piece, that they jump to the tactics too much. Is that typically what people do wrong?
I would say that's we see all the time. I mean, that is definitely a differentiator for us. But I'll tell you the other thing, and this I have to be careful about how I say this to not offend. But a lot of times they just do what the client tells them. My belief is most small business owners don't have any idea what they need. And so to allow them to say, I need a website that does this and we need to be doing Facebook ads. Maybe they do. Quite often, we actually back them up and say, no, your real problem is this. And, if you trust us to build this and not just sell time and projects and whatnot, that long term, you're going to have the result that you're after. And, many, many small businesses, that's music to their ears because they don't really want to, sometimes they're telling people what to do because they think that's what they're supposed to do. They really enjoy actually having somebody they trust, build a marketing system for them. But I would say that's the biggest is I see it, every single day where client shows up and says, I got $5,000. I want to do this with it. And they go, okay. Rather than like, is that even the right thing to do?
So you won't take that job. A plumber calls you up and says, I got $5,000. Build me a website. You say, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to do the strategy. I got to do the full program.
Yeah, absolutely. But we don't just say we won't do it. I mean, we we teach them why they need to back up and do X. I mean, it's so painfully clear. They need a new website because their website isn't getting them any business. Well, there's a reason for that. So, a lot of times they just think, oh, I need a new design. Well, that's not really the issue.
Do you think most small businesses, at least the ones I know, most of their people actually do the work. They do the plumbing. They do the electrical work. Right. They do what the business is there to do. They don't do marketing or things like that. You have to sort of graduate. Do you think it's better for a small business to farm that out or to bring it in-house? What's your view on that?
Well, so I believe there's sort of a transition that needs to go on. I think the mistake a lot of businesses make is they abdicate their marketing. It's like, oh, you're my SEO person. I don't know what SEO is, but do it. And that's how they get burned. And I'm not picking on SEO people, but I'm just saying, whatever kind of provider, that's a good way to waste a whole lot of money. So they really need to, I tell business owners, they need to educate themselves enough so that they know how to buy marketing services. You should never really abdicate strategy because in a lot of ways, strategy is about customer discovery. It's about honing your message. It's about, paying attention enough so that you know what else you can do with a customer. And I don't think there's too many outside folks that really are going to ever be as close to your customer. So you need to think in terms of owning that. Now, getting pieces of it done and orchestrated, I think is definitely something that a lot of business owners are better off, instead of trying to figure out AdWords or something, you're better off finding somebody that you trust to do that because you probably are going to make your money doing something else or at least using your time to do something else. However, as businesses grow, I believe that they need to start making marketing more of an asset internally. And so I am a big fan of really kind of, even if you're working with an outside folk, you should have somebody doing aspects of your marketing. An outside provider is not going to write content like you can get it written by somebody who's there in the trenches. They're never going to do social media. When the boss brings the baby into, to the office for the first time, which is going to make a great social media post. I mean, who's going to capture that, right? Somebody internally. So what I like to do is work with folks. And as we mature their marketing, I actually start helping them build an internal team as well. They may always go to an outside source to have a third party look in and say, hey, what are we doing wrong? What can we do better? But day to day, you need to start building that in some of that aspect internally.
Yeah. Now, you may know our company Thrive, we have a CRM system for small businesses. And so naturally, I'm interested in the technology side of this. What's your view on technology for small businesses and particularly marketing technology? Is that a piece of the puzzle for you?
Absolutely. You know, if somebody's not using a CRM, they're not using, you know, marketing automation in a way that allows them to follow up and keep track of customers, they're really seriously missing the boat because they're missing the experience that they could give that would keep somebody around, that would keep them buying more, that would keep them talking about how great you are. So absolutely 100%. The caution that I give folks is that technology is not so that you don't ever have to talk to anybody. Technology is there to actually make a better experience. So how can you actually use your you know, technology to actually make your, what I call hugs and handshakes, you know, even more important to the businesses? Remove friction with technology, make it easier to do the things they want to do, make it easier for salespeople to have knowledge about, you know, what's next, you know, for a customer, but don't use it as a wall.
Yeah, for sure. And just one more point about that is, you know, some people think about marketing as like customer acquisition. And of course, customer acquisition is important. It's lifeblood, but it's also nice to retain your customers, to generate loyalty from your customers, keep them coming back. You use technology for the repeat business as well as the acquisition business, right?
Yeah, it's funny, you know, so many marketers, you talk to them about lead generation funnels and they, you know, they have no problem with that concept. Yeah, I got to get somebody in the door. Well, we build for every one of our clients a buying funnel, a follow-up funnel, a repeat education funnel. I mean, the best thing, some of the best things you can do with marketing automation is teach somebody how to get more of a result, teach people what their expectations are next, teach people, you know, if you sell a software, I mean, having a whole series of content that's going to help people elevate their use, make that software more useful to them. You know, you're obviously your retention is going to go through the roof, but you're also, you know, you're also going to start having advocates and fans who talk about, you know, how great the experience is and how much handholding you give them. So that's part of the customer journey as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, this is great stuff, John. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in 1 minute with more from John Jantz.
Looking for help to launch your business? Check out LaunchpadAmerica.com. What's LaunchpadAmerica.com? It's the site for all your startup needs. Leading providers of business solutions for America's small businesses have teamed up to create LaunchpadAmerica.com. It's a unique site where you can find the resources and mentorship to start and grow your business. At LaunchpadAmerica.com, you'll find a startup guide with free educational materials showing you how to launch your business. You'll also find a starter kit with offers for essential business tools to run and grow your company. Behind LaunchpadAmerica.com are great organizations: Thrive, MasterCard, Intuit, GoSmallBiz.com, Lendio, ADP, Umail, and America's Small Business Development Center. These innovative leaders are proud to support today's small businesses and entrepreneurs. Visit LaunchpadAmerica.com to get your small business blasting off in the right direction.
What do you see out there now in the small business landscape? On the one hand, the economy seems to be coming back. On the other hand, you hear small business people can't even hire anybody anymore. Yes. There's nobody to work for them. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing everything that you just described. There certainly are some industries that, you know, are really still in pretty tough shape by no fault of their own, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm also seeing a tremendous amount of opportunity, and especially businesses that, you know, immediately got closer to their customers during this period, started learning more about what they could do. I mean, you've got a couple realities that have gone on. A lot of people are looking for new suppliers for things. I mean, they lost their relationships with some of their companies that they did business with. So a lot of businesses, a lot of individuals are out there looking for somebody else. So there's a real opportunity there. The other thing is that, you know, one of the greatest frictions when it comes to somebody changing to you as a, you know, as a solution provider for them is it's just change is hard. Nobody likes it. I mean, even if they think, yeah, this might benefit me, but what if it doesn't? Well, they've never been, I think buyers have never been more open right now to change because so much change went on, so much innovation occurred during 2020 that all of a sudden the sort of the bounds, you know, for making change now have kind of come off. It's like, yeah, let's try it. Let's do something new. Nobody died when we did this, you know, maybe we got to explore new, you know, new opportunities. So right now, don't be afraid to innovate. Don't be afraid to explore new markets, new approaches, you know, add some things because you're going to find that there's a willing market out there that you're going to be able to introduce some change to.
Yeah. Great advice. You've written multiple books, as we mentioned before, they've done very well. And now you have a new one coming out in the fall. For the reader of your books, does that explain the system to the point where they could do it themselves? Is that your goal?
It is actually my goal because I know they won't. I'm just being facetious there, but yeah, I don't hold anything back. I tell people how to do things. My newest book, The Ultimate Marketing Engine, comes with a companion course and all kinds of worksheets, you know, to do exactly the work that we do with our clients. And my belief has always been that, yeah, there definitely are people that are going to take that and they're going to run with it and they're going to do it themselves. But there's an even larger, you know, group of people out there that are like, you know what you're talking about. You proved it to me. You know, you're not holding anything back. Why don't you do this with me? And so that's always been my belief. And, you know, I don't need everybody to be a customer for sure.
Right. Would you say, or maybe one or two examples of customers who've had real successes with you? Can you tell us about a customer where you took them from, you know, A to B?
Yeah, sure. One of my favorite stories is because it was an industry that was very behind in the digital world. This was a remodeling contractor that had about 8 or 10 employees. It was a gentleman that had started this himself and had grown really a nice business, had about 8 or 10 employees. They had a website, but you know, it was basically a couple pictures of a couple projects and really no content, you know, no messaging that helped them differentiate. And they were probably, in fact, the year that I started doing business with them, they were doing $1.8 million. They're going to do $63 million this year. They have about 90-ish employees. Frankly, they do great work. People love them. Their people are great. You know, so that's obviously, I can't fix that with marketing. So they get all the credit for that. But we brought them into the digital age, you know, rapidly. I mean, they were probably one of the first remodeling contractors in the country that was blogging and has a podcast and, you know, doing videos and, you know, just getting reviews and all the standard kind of fair stuff. But they really, really got them ahead of, you know, their industry in terms of digital marketing. And so now, you know, you put into a search engine just about any term related to remodeling in their community, and they're going to show up number one. And that's really allowed them to dominate in their space.
That's terrific. Your customers find you just because, you know, you've got this cool name, Duct Tape Marketing. You've written a few books. Do you market yourself to find them?
You know, we definitely do. One of the things I'm a big proponent of, and I pound on our consultants to do this as well, is that we practice what we preach. I mean, you better be able to find us in search. You better be able to find our consultants, Google My Business pages in their community, and they better be getting reviews and writing content. But I will say that you know, I've been doing this for a long time. As you mentioned, I have books out there. I speak at conferences. You know, knock on wood, those are coming back. And that, you know, that sort of collectively, you know, leads people, you know, to at least exploring what we do and you know, hiring us.
So many small businesses don't make it. Like the percentage of small businesses that fail. First year, 20%. I think 3 years, it's 50%. You know, the numbers are not encouraging. And yet, obviously, lots of small, especially today, people are still starting new businesses right and left. Yeah. Why do they fail when they fail? And what should they be doing differently? I know that's a big question, but how, you know, what would make those numbers better?
Well, I think one is, you know, let's just face it, some percentage, we're not cut out to do this. You know, right. Sounded cool, let's start a business. So, you know, that's going to be a fair chunk, quite frankly. The other is really just that, you know, sometimes small business owners, not just small business owners, anybody, falls in love with an idea. It's like, I am an accountant. I'm going to start an accountancy, and anybody who needs taxes done, you know, is going to flock to me. And that sort of belief, you know, has them kind of say, well, I'm going to do this thing. And pretty quickly they realize that it's it's a marketing game as much as it is anything, or a sales game, you know, in many cases. And I think that, what ends up happening a lot of times is because they don't have a marketing strategy. They're trying to be all things to all people. What ultimately ends up happening is they don't get to charge what they need to, because they, you know, their only differentiator is the low cost provider, perhaps. And so, you know, I think that that's what runs people out of business more than anything. It's like, well, I can only get X amount an hour or whatever it is, you know, for my work. And, you know, you do the math on that, it's like, well, that's never going to add up to you being profitable. And so, one of the, you know, real benefits of this idea of narrowing your focus on a specific type of client and really getting to understand what problem you solve for them is it actually allows you to charge a premium. People in many cases come to Duct Tape Marketing, you know, right or wrong, expecting to pay a premium because of what they've seen and heard, you know, from other folks, and because they, you know, they assign sort of authority figure, you know, to the author. And that's really what you've got to do, is you've got to find your way, you know, to get out of the commodity pile.
Yeah, that's really well put, and hard to do, because as you said, people tend to dive in and know what they want to do or what the product is, and they figure out the strategy later after it's kind of maybe too late. Well, this has been great, John. You're really a legend in the business. I mean, you've written all these books, you speak, you're kind of a machine, and it's great to have a chance to talk to you. What do you do for fun when you're not writing all these books and speaking? You got any time for pastimes?
Yeah, I do. I spend a lot of time having fun. I live in a playground, basically. You can't see out my window, but you probably have an idea there's, that's a national park over there. But I'm at about 9,000 feet west of Boulder in the Rocky Mountains.
And wow.
So I do all the silly stuff people do up here. I ski and I ride mountain bikes and I fish trout streams and enjoy every minute of it.
Sounds pretty good. Well, John, this has been delightful. Thank you for joining us. I hope people will maybe pick up a couple of your books and check it out. It's John Jantz. The company is Duct Tape Marketing, and you can find him at ducttapemarketing.com. Thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure, Gordon.
If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe and tell a friend or colleague to subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. Until next time, make it a great week.